comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Oh, this one will be paid back over and over again for decades. The ball tipped by Stevenson. Noah Brown just standing back there all alone. Plucks it out of the air for the victory.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's me, and I'll be with you for the next 5 hours to kick off a Football Monday presented by Plumbers 911 and Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I got Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass to talk about a heartbreaking Bears loss to the Commanders today in Washington, D.C. 18-15, the final, and a special guest host with us for the show tonight. This gentleman won the auction in the Cubs for a Cure that we were doing here a couple months back to sit in on the show. It is Dan Durbin sitting in on the show this evening. Dan, welcome in. I wish it was under better circumstances, though.
Well, so do I, but it's still an honor to be here, and let's go.
And we'll hear Dan's opinions, thoughts on the game throughout the morning, but we want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. We are going to go call and text heavy to open the show. You can get in on the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today, or visit BetQL.com. I was going to come in mad even if they won. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, they lost, and they lost in heartbreaking fashion. I would have been happier had they won, but I was going to be mad even if they won. The offense was bad tonight, man, and three main reasons that the offense was bad tonight. Caleb looked like a rookie at times. The offensive line returned to their old form that we saw in the first 3 weeks, and really just another bad game for Shane Waldron at the offensive coordinator. Here's how it went down today in D.C. Another slow start for the Bears. More on that coming up in just a second. But three straight punts to open the game, and then they get a little something going. They start moving the ball a little bit, and it comes down to fourth and one, and this is what Shane Waldron comes up with in the second quarter. This was the fourth and one play, Tyler, in the second quarter when the Bears were trying to drive and get something going.
Jaden got two of the strongest, three of the strongest guys in two. Got to get out on the edge.
A throw for it. DJ Moore. Oh, and Luvu able to push it back after St. Chiefs made the first contact. What a stop by the Commanders. Oh, you thought DJ Moore might be able to figure out a way to fight for the yard, but they closed in on him. Luvu was there first.
They're going to run this smoke because he's so far off, but watch Luvu right here. This is the effort and the commitment it takes to be a championship-style team, and Luvu takes off running. You got to get to the ball. They call it loafs if you're not flying to the ball. See everyone flying to the ball? That's why this team is coming on their extra effort.
Let me give credit to St. Juice because he got there first, and he did enough to contain him until he got help from Luvu to turn it over on downs, and now Washington sets up shop at the 40.
That was a huge play in this game.
Hate that play. Getting too cute. Just line up and move the ball forward. I hate it. You're wasting time. Guys are coming downhill on defense, and you're just giving them more time to get more momentum and come downhill and make the play. And the Commanders capitalize on that. They hit their third field goal of the half. The Bears punt again for the fourth time in the half. Half ends 9-0. The Bears had 33 yards at halftime. 33 yards of offense at halftime. Come out, punt, punt, another field goal for Washington, another punt for the Bears, another punt for Washington, and then finally, the Bears break through, and it's DeAndre Swift.
To Swift. Look at Swift. Take it to the Washington side of the 50, down the sideline, he goes!
where they've been getting going to C-gap, Jim, outside and wide, and Swift shows off the great instincts, the cut, and then the burst to finish.
First touchdown of the game, and for the way things started, you're feeling pretty good. You're right back in this game. It's a one-score game, even though you couldn't get anything going for three quarters. You get a break on the following Washington drive as the kicker got more dirt than ball on an attempted field goal, and they missed it. Bears, though, they punt again, and then they force a Washington punt. And then finally, a really solid drive for the Bears. 9 plays, 84 yards. They eat up almost 4 minutes. They're right there on the goal line. And then this.
They go big here at the goal line, including Mercedes Lewis, the veteran tight end, and Roschon Johnson. They like to go to short yardage. Instead, look what they do.
Oh, the ball's out, Jim.
Ball is out. The ball is out, and it's picked up by the Commanders.
Keep running. It's not blown dead.
It's Newton. And there's
Newton
not
killing
a single
right there, Tyler.
In pursuit.
It was a fumble. They did not. He was down. He was touchdown. So it was a fumble. The return did not matter. And the Bears actually, they hold strong after that. They force a punt. They come back. They put together another drive of almost 4 minutes, 62 yards, capped off by Roschon Johnson. Okay, we'll get that in just a second. And honestly, at that point, I'm feeling real good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this was a terribly played football game, Dan, but they got the lead. There's 30 seconds left on the clock. Washington has no timeouts, and you should be able to close this thing out. And here's the touchdown by Roschon Johnson.
But they're doing this based on the Washington front. Washington needs to align everybody inside. You're going to play man-to-man outside. One-on-one here. You want to throw it? Go ahead. Put everybody in here.
Handoff. Johnson. Up ahead. He's across. Touchdown, Chicago. Pat Eberflus's team never led for 59 minutes and 37 seconds until this touchdown by Roschon Johnson. They are going to go for two.
Again, I was going to come in mad, even if that's how it ended, but because of the way that the offense looked for three quarters. But I was like, all right, man, at least you went on the road. You're coming out with a win. There's only 30 seconds left. I don't know why you're giving up the sideline. I don't know why you're giving up the sideline to Terry McLaurin, but you did. And then worst case scenario plays out on the final play of the game.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Oh, this one will be paid back over and over again for decades. The ball tipped by Stevenson. Noah Brown.
I don't need to hear any more of that happiness of Commanders fans. I really don't. My heart sunk. Dan, you brought it up before the show. I don't know that I've been as heartbroken over a loss since the double doink.
It really was a double doink, and it was really tough for me because I have 7 brothers and a sister who live out in Washington, D.C.
Ugh.
My texts were blowing up. It was a heartbreak.
This one hurt, man. This one hurt. We want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the show, you poop the bed after getting flexed into primetime. This could be a team that you see in the wild card hunt. It could come down to a tiebreaker. You had a chance if you win this one at, like, I talked about this yesterday, well, Saturday now, when I was on the air. You win this one, you have a chance at a 6-game win streak, a 7-2 record heading into that hellish backstretch of the schedule, and you just couldn't finish the job. You came out unprepared, you still had a chance, and then you just could not finish the job. It's Bears Overnights. I'm Rami Makhlouf, special co-host Dan Durbin, who won the Cubs for a Cure auction to sit on the house tonight. And sit in on the show tonight, and you can get in on the show at 312-644-6767. Read some of your text in just a minute, but I want to get right out to the phones. And Tim, who's in Central Illinois now, he's on 670 The Score. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Appreciate you making it.
Tough day. You know, we played pretty poor. And at the end, we had a chance to win it. I thought we had it won, and the Hail Mary. And not to be a whiner, but if you look in the tape, our left guard or tackle was getting held. He was hit. I mean,
yeah,
you can't give up that Hail Mary, man. You got to have somebody behind there. And went from being here to being here, you know, and 5-2 sounds a lot better than 4-3. So
it really does. And thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Tim. As I was laying out the playoff implications that this could end up meaning at the end of the season, Dan, and it and just the fact that you had victory in your hands and it got snatched out.
It absolutely can have an effect. And I guess the eternal optimist in me says, though, let's take these next three games, try to get a couple of division stuff. We're still alive, but it has implications.
This one hurt, man. This one really, really hurt. And another slow start. You get shut out in the first half. You punt on your opening drive for the fourth game in a row. You punt on your opening drive. 0 points at halftime. Caleb Williams, 33 yards passing at the half. He had 36 by the end of the third quarter, and the Bears were outgained 267-90 in one half of football. You cannot. The fact they were even in this game is a bit of a miracle. I don't want to say the Bears defense played well, because when you start digging into the numbers, and we have plenty of time too. We'll be here until 5 a.m. The Bears defense really didn't play all that great, but it was a lot of bend, don't break for really the whole game until they finally broke in the biggest moment that they could possibly break. But it was bend, don't break all day, but Washington was able to move the football all day long. And penalties, a problem again, coming out of a bye week. 8 penalties for 60 yards, and most of those of the pre- and post-snap variety, which kill you the most.
After one post-snap, a finger you put into somebody's eye? What kind of discipline is that?
It was a very frustrating game to watch today. And then you're sitting there with 30 seconds left in the game, thinking you actually have a chance to win it somehow, and then you see that go down. And as far as the Hail Mary goes, first of all, total breakdown to not have somebody back there. And Matt Eberflus was asked about that. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from Caleb Williams and some other guys from the locker room throughout the morning. But then, and Dan, you sent this. We had a little group chat going before the show started. You're really part of a radio show when you're in a group chat with your co-host and producer, Dan. But you sent it, and it's going all over the internet. Tyreek Stevenson jawing and basically celebrating in the corner of the end zone and talking trash to Commanders fans, and then runs in at the last second. I don't know, because there's supposed to be 3 or 4 guys there who are, you know, to bat the ball or tip the ball. Right. And then somebody behind them, it's kind of like a tip drill in basketball, somebody behind them to make sure exactly what happens doesn't happen. And I don't know if Tariq Stevenson was supposed to be that guy and he lost focus because of what he was doing pre-snap or what happened. But all of that inexcusable for that to go down the way that it did on the final play.
Those of us who played peewee in high school football, we were taught that from the very beginning. It's frustrating to see this on national television, not to have somebody behind. It's pretty basic.
I was losing my mind. 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on Bears overnights. I know you can't sleep. I'm hosting the show tonight, but even if I wasn't hosting the show, I'd be at home unable to sleep right now. So get it off your chest at 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bill, who's in Mount Greenwood. Now he's on the Score. What's up, Bill?
Man, you just hit it right on the head. I couldn't sleep either. That's why I'm calling you right now. I'm like, I can't believe that happened. And that, you know, one silver lining is the Bears had a chance to bail out Matt Eberflus after he totally goofed that call at the goal line. You know, I mean, and he could have just gotten away and everybody forget about it because the Bears won. But instead, he forgets to, you know, Bill Belichick had Randy Moss back on plays like that. Just to make sure that when you throw that ball up, you weren't getting beat. And that guy got beat because he didn't have, you know, a lot of it is on the players. But let's not forget that. They practice that at least 2 or 3 times a week, that Hail Mary play. But he could have thrown Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet back there to bat that ball down, but he just went with his regular players thinking it wasn't going to happen. And this loss is all on Matt Eberflus. The man is a clown. He ought to wear a big red nose and big red shoes to work tomorrow because he's a clown. And he's the reason the Bears lost today. They had a chance to win that game. They got their ass kicked the entire game, but they still could have won it. But he had to say, hey, everyone, Bozo Circus is on the air. I'm Matt Eberflus.
Bill, appreciate the call. And look, you can also, in addition to, it's a great idea to get your receivers in there, and that is something that mm-hmm. Bill Belichick would employ with guys like Randy Moss. But also, you're only sending three? Jaden Daniels had 13 seconds. He had 13 seconds to throw the football. I mean, it's a Hail Mary, and even if you have 13 seconds, the chances are slim that you're going to complete it. But the fact he had that much time gives those guys that much more time to set up what they set, exactly what they set up in the end zone. Why are you only sending three? And when you have losses like this, when you have the same problems creeping up, as soon as you face a decent team, after what we've seen them do the last 2 weeks against terrible teams, those types of opinions and those types of questions about your coaching are going to pop right back up. There was a way for them to lose this game where we're not sitting here getting calls mm-hmm. calling Matt Eberflus a clown, where I don't open the show asking for Shane Waldron to turn in his headset because of plays you're making or calls you're making on third and fourth and short and giving the ball to an offensive lineman at the one. This is how you get your capabilities, your job questioned as a head coach or an offensive coordinator. We saw some really inexcusable stuff out there today, especially coming out of a bye week.
Yeah, I appreciated Bill talking about the clown car that he was putting Eberflus on, but I hope he left room for Shane Waldron.
It's infuriating, man. Some of the stuff that goes on with this football team is absolutely infuriating.
It felt like weeks 1 through 3, Shane Waldron, he was digging through the same stuff that wasn't working in the playbook. Like, the perfect example was the 4th-and-1 screen. Everybody has seen that play has not worked all season. You run the ball great on 1st and 2nd down, don't get the 2 yards on 3rd down, and then you dig out a play that hasn't worked all year.
All year.
Just why?
All year, man. All year. And you're going to get people questioning you as a coach when you make mistakes like that. Got a text here from the 630. Give us your text, your calls, 312-644-6767. Tyreek Stevenson needs to take a seat on the bench next week. Not only did he have that play, but he also had a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after a play where he stuck, you brought it up, where he stuck his finger in an opposing player's helmet. I love Tyreek Stevenson, man. I do, and like, his intensity is part of what makes him as good a player and as disruptive a player as he is for the Bears defense. But you gotta rein that in. Like, it can't be we're gonna get 30 yards of penalties with your intensity to get the good stuff too. You gotta figure out how to rein that in. I don't know if I want to bench him, but man, I'm really, really not happy with Tyreek Stevenson tonight.
I like the fact that there was just a scroll on the 4-letter network and there was a formal apology by Stevenson saying I got to play to the zeros, but that doesn't make me feel better.
No.
What are you going to do?
Exactly. I love that guy. I love Tyreek Stevenson. I'm glad he was back from the injury tonight. He gave you a better chance to win with a lot of what he did, but he really, really hurt you 2 times. And obviously on that last play, on the Hail Mary, in celebrating before the game is over, jawing with Commanders fans. And then, again, I don't know if he was the guy who was supposed to be it. We don't know. I don't think we've gotten that answer. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus and some other players involved later, but it looks real, real bad if you see it. If you haven't seen it, you can go check it out on Twitter of Tyreek Stevenson. A fan had, you know, phone video of him in the corner of the end zone jawing and celebrating before the ball is even snapped. And then he scrambles to get back in the play. And I think he got a hand on it. But again, somebody was supposed to be back there to prevent that touchdown from being scored. And whether it was Stevenson or somebody else, somebody really, really dropped the ball there. Really dropped the ball. That was, you cannot let that happen. Let's go to Andrew from Sherwood, you're on the Score. What's up, Andrew?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Well, not great.
Yeah, no, I feel that. So I do want to say I just can't believe that happened. And then the only optimistic thing to look at, if there is anything optimistic, is that the Bears defense held Jaden Daniels the whole three quarters up until the last 5 seconds. They held it, and he was having a good night. We did not give up a single touchdown. And then what puts salt on the wound is that Minnesota goes in, they're on a two-game losing streak. We lose our bye, and now we're losing this week after coming off our bye? It's insane. I feel like we needed to demote Eberflus to defensive coordinator and bring in a different head coach. That's what we should have done. We have a new quarterback.
I don't know that I appreciate the call. I don't think I've ever seen that done before, where a head coach will take a demotion to a coordinator spot. But I was of the opinion, well, I wanted him fired last year when they were 0-7, and even after
the strong second half,
I wanted him fired because I just wanted a fresh start with a number one pick quarterback. I wanted an offensive minded guy to come in and get the job, just attach those guys hip by hip. And I'll be honest, from what I've seen this year, I was coming into the season giving him a chance. I haven't seen anything that makes me change my mind on Matt Eberflus to this point.
I felt the same way. I would have been happy if he had been gone. I like the fact they brought in someone like Shane Waldron, but unfortunately, Shane is not doing what I expected an offensive coordinator to do.
Yeah, and those were my three main questions coming into the season. Matt Eberflus as a head coach, the offensive line as a whole, and what do we have in Shane Waldron? And with the first two, like, I had doubts. Like, I had seen things that had raised my concerns about our head coach and about our offensive line. With Shane Waldron, it was just kind of the unknown. I didn't know what we were getting. I didn't watch Seattle on a week-in, week-out basis to know what he was bringing to the table as an offensive coordinator. I did like the fact that he had done it before, that he had called plays before. But if I'm being honest, and this whether you want to admit it or not, this was another angle of the game tonight. You were going against a guy who could have been your offensive coordinator and a guy who had a relationship with Caleb Williams and had a system that Caleb Williams had succeeded in Cliff Kingsbury. And that guy, now again, it was a lot of bend, don't break, but that guy, he won the chess match tonight. They had 329 yards through the air. They outgained you by over 200 yards tonight, and that could have been your offensive coordinator this year, and you chose to go with Shane Waldron. And I wanted Kingsbury, if I'm being honest. I wanted him to be the offensive coordinator. They went with Waldron, just like with Flus. I was like, okay, let's give it a chance. To this point, not impressed.
No, and thank you, Tyler, for saying how there seems to be a regression. We were kind of happy after the first couple of games. Waldron had a meeting with the leadership council, thought he was doing better, and then he went backwards today.
And for, look, man, we all the last couple of weeks have been fighting off that thing of, yeah, but when you look at the competition, and then they come out and they do what they did tonight on the national stage after you get flexed onto the national stage, and that's what you put out there? Now the questions become even more pertinent of, was that because of the competition the last 2 weeks? They really opened the door to a lot of questions and a lot of doubts tonight, not just by losing, but in the way that they lost to Washington tonight. Bears fall to the Commanders in D.C., 18-15, the final in this one, in heartbreaking fashion on a Hail Mary touchdown to Noah Brown on the very last play of the game. I know you're up. I know you can't sleep, Bears fans. Want your calls, want your text at 312-644-6767. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. And special co-host for this one, Dan Durbin, winner of a Cubs for a Cure auction to sit in on the show this evening. And want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. Bears overnights on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score returns right after this.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, as Big Voice Guy said, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 5 a.m. along with special guest host Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in on the show today. And want to hear from you at 312-644-6767 after the heartbreaking loss to the Commanders today, 18-15, on a Hail Mary to end the game. So much to come on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Brad Biggs will be joining Mullion Haw at 640, followed immediately by Olin Kreutz at 7. DJ Moore joins the guys at 8. Midday show, Bernstein and Harris, they got Anthony Heron at 10, Mark Schlereth at 12, and then Spiegel and Holmes in the afternoon. We'll talk with Dan Wiederer at 1, Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Rohde at 4, and Jalen Johnson at 5. So a jam-packed Football Monday to break this thing down and see where and how it all went wrong for the Bears in D.C. today. Well, yesterday, now. And that's what we're talking about with you at 312-644-6767. Let's get right out to the phones, waste no time, and get to Chicago Johnny from Las Vegas. Johnny, thanks for listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, buddy?
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sure.
You know, I said this last year, and I'll say it again. The general manager screwed up, right? And what he did was he got rid of the body, but he kept the head of the snake. And then the snake grew, and he put these other idiots behind him, coaching him. Right. This Eberflus, if he was the coach of Kansas City, I guarantee you Kansas City would not have back-to-back championship rings. They would not, because he's not a good coach. Why do you think that Indianapolis got rid of him? He can't coach. And the offensive coordinator, he's got to go too. I mean, they're just terrible. I don't, you know, guys, you can have all the talent in the world on your team. But if you do not know how to use that talent, it's wasted talent. And that's what we have. We got good talent, but we don't know how to use it because it's bad coaching. And as soon as the GM finally figures out he made a mistake by keeping the head of the snake, then we're going to be in trouble. What do you think is going to happen when they got to play Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota? They can't beat those guys. You got to admit that the Bears were given the easiest schedule for the first 9 games.
No, there's no doubt about that. Johnny, I appreciate the call, man, and you listening out there in Las Vegas. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, Kansas City would not have back-to-back Super Bowls if Matt Eberflus was the head coach. Or at least I don't think they would. I don't think he's Andy Reid. And when he says you didn't cut off the head of the snake, he's absolutely right, man. Like and I'm not trying to relitigate Justin Fields versus Caleb Williams. We're here now, okay? Caleb Williams is our quarterback, and I'm happy about that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Caleb Williams had some rookie moments tonight. A lot of throws that he missed that could have been productive plays. But I'm not disappointed with Caleb Williams. But whenever you would have that discussion, and people would go, "Well, Justin Fields had 3 years to prove it, and he didn't do anything." But then I go, "Well, why is Matt Eberflus still head coach?" Then people will go, "Well, what did you expect him to do? Like he didn't have a chance to win." Now the real evaluation begins. Why does Matt Eberflus' evaluation start now this year when he's been losing for 2 years? And Justin Fields, it was definitive that he wasn't the guy anymore. If you wanted to cut ties with the major pieces of some really, really bad times and losing for this Chicago Bears organization, I think Matt Eberflus had to be part of that too. And I'm not just saying that because of what happened tonight. I was saying that last year. I was saying that after last year. And I'll continue to say that now after a loss like what we saw tonight and the way that they lost this game tonight.
Yeah, I heard a stat on the postgame show with Olin and Pat, and I think I've got it right. Matt Eberflus is 3-17 in terms of away games. That's 3-17.
Actually, we just got a text from the 815. Eberflus' record on the road is 3-17. He should have been replaced after last season. Yeah, you brilliant minds think alike. Yeah, that's again unacceptable. Like so much about this is unacceptable, man. Including here's a text from the 773 says, "I was unable to watch the game, but did the Bears actually hand the ball off to a lineman? ... Intentionally? Yes, they did. I have audio proof that they did just that."
They go big here at the goal line, including Mercedes Lewis, the veteran tight end, and Roschon Johnson. They like to go to short yardage. Instead, look what they do.
Oh, the ball's out, Jim.
Ball is out. The ball is out, and it's picked up by the Commanders.
Keep running. It's not blown dead.
It's Newton, and there's not a single Bear in pursuit.
Go score. Where's Don Beebe? I don't know anything of what just happened. I know the ball came out, but was he down?
And they went with a play out of the Super Bowl down in New Orleans in 86. The fridge, William Refrigerator Perry play, remember that? And this was Kramer trying to take it across.
He's definitely down there. His foot was on a Bear.
You can kill it, Tyler.
Offensive team fumbled the ball, which was recovered by the defense, and that player was down by contact.
Turn in your headset. If I'm at Eberflus right there, just turn in your headset, man. That was enough for me. I've seen enough. By the way, this is what Doug Kramer had to say about the play afterwards.
Yeah, obviously you're excited, and. You know, I appreciate Shane for, you know, having the trust in me to call it. But yeah, made a mistake, dropped the ball on the 1 yard line. So
I don't even blame him. I don't even blame Doug Kramer for dropping, because that's not what he does. That's not what that guy does. What are you doing with the game on the line?
I know that they talked about how, I'm sure they practice it a bit, et cetera, but he is a lineman. How often can he do it? And did you hear how they said that? I think the fumble went to Caleb because of the handoff. Yeah. And they were talking about how maybe he could have done better, but you don't give it to a lineman.
Yeah, Tony Romo mentioned that. It's probably at the end of the clip that I cut short there because I couldn't bear to listen to it anymore. He says that his weight keeps going backwards as he hands the ball off, and that's a play where, because it's the fullback and he's right on you, as soon as you snap it and turn around, he's got to stay in there and hand it to him. But the fumble goes to him simply because he was the last person to possess the ball. Like, Doug Kramer never actually had possession of the football. That's how it always is on those exchanges, that if the running back doesn't get a hold of it, that the fumble goes to the quarterback. But, yeah, both guys there probably play a little part in that thing going wrong. But at the end of the day, what are you doing? Like, and look, man, I love the idea of that play, like, and any big guy does, and any husky dude within the sound of my voice right now loves that play, you know what I mean? And if it works, we're all sitting here going, oh, wasn't that fun? But the bottom line is, like, that's a play that you pull out of the playbook when you're up one or two scores of, like, oh, here's the cherry on top. Here's us doing a little dance on your carcass as we seal this game and make it, you know, a two-score game if you already have a one-score lead. That's not a call that you make to seal a game. And with the game on the line, you just don't do that.
And was that a bye week call where the coaches are getting smart? I mean, why not just Roschon Johnson? That would be a good idea. I think this guy got a little too cute. Way too cute.
Second time that game they got too cute. The DJ Moore 4th-and-1 was the first time. And that was the second time. And both times, it absolutely killed you. It absolutely crushed you. I mean, obviously the second one more so because it happens on the goal line. But in the first half, you finally have a chance to get something going. You have something going. You have a drive going, and it's 4th-and-1, and you draw up a wide receiver screen to DJ Moore standing by himself. Like, you didn't even have another receiver or Cole Kmet out there or somebody to, like, throw a screen block or something. You just had DJ Moore one-on-one with the cornerback standing 2 yards in front of him. Unacceptable. Let's go back out to the phones. 312 644-676. I literally forgot the phone numbers there for a second. That's how angry I am about this bear. I literally forgot the phone numbers there for a second. But that's how you get in. 312-644-6767 if you want to shoot a text or give a call like Jamal from Uptown did. Now he's on the score. What's up, Jamal?
What's up, guys? Hey, you guys are exuberant at this time of day, man. Very lively, man. And very upset as well you should be, man. It served the Bears right, man. Because they let Blasingame go this week for no reason. They could have held on to Valus Jones. They wasn't paying him nothing, man. Why in the heck are you giving the ball to a lineman? It's just reminiscent of that year Nagy had ran the same trickery in the playoffs 2 or 3 weeks in a row. This ain't John Madden football, man. It's the National Football League, man. And for all the people that had the Bears on the money line, it's sickening, man. Very demoralizing. I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Have a safe week, guys.
Appreciate the call. And sorry for your loss if you had the Bears on the money line. Do appreciate it. But yeah, just getting too cute.
What do you guys think about that Blasingame take? I thought that was fascinating. Like, what if he was in the game compared to Doug Kramer? Could it have been a different play?
I honestly was seeing a little bit too much of Blasingame, and when he, especially the first few weeks as Shane Waldron was kind of figuring things out. But I was surprised by the move that you would just outright cut him. Yeah. This week, him and Velus Jones were kind of surprised too. But of the two, Blasingame was the more surprising of the two.
I think with Jones, it was just a matter of he's been given so many chances over these 2 years that every time he doesn't perform, something must have happened in practice that we'll never know that caused him to cut him, because why not keep him just in case?
Mm-hmm.
Something must have happened.
Yeah, you would think so. This from the 413. I don't know. Hey, if you're listening from the 413 and you can text us back, I don't know if this is just for this season or if they're saying throughout his career, but Bears have lost 4 games where they had more than a 95% chance of winning under Flus. Totally unacceptable. Think about that. You know the win probability charts that you know they have on ESPN.com or CBSSports.com if you're following a game live? So they've lost 4 times. Well, I guess that can't be all this season because they only have 3 losses this season. So I just answered my own question with very basic math. But in 3 years to lose 4 games where you had a 95% chance of winning, like you almost have to try to do that. You almost have to try to be that bad.
The prime examples last year were definitely that Denver game where they blew that big lead. And then that first Detroit game at Ford Field, that was another really – you thought they had it.
Yeah, so that's got to be two of the four, and then tonight was 3 of the 4. So let's just figure out what that last one is, and we'll be all the way home. Text from the 773, Fancy Pants basically just exposes your skid marks when you lose them. Yeah, it's a great analogy. It's a great analogy. Getting fancy, pants fell off, skid marks. Just doo-dooed yourself everywhere. It was just, oh my God, man. And I'm watching the game, and I'm just going, don't do it. You know what I mean? Don't do it. And they, of course, just go ahead and do it. And I just want to, just real quick, I want to put in perspective how bad this performance was by the Bears offense. Just in terms of the opportunity that they had tonight that they let slip by the wayside. Quarterbacks coming into tonight, playing against the Commanders, had a 107.4 passer rating. 2 teams have been worse, the Panthers and the Jaguars. Their defense, solidly average when you look at like the main stats. They're 16th in the league in yards per game, 15th in the league in points per game. They give about 200 through the air, 130 on the ground. They are pretty good at getting pressure on quarterbacks. They were 13th in the league in sacks, 6th in the NFL in sacks per pass attempt. But entering Sunday, they allowed 5.8 yards per play. They allowed almost 6 yards per play coming into the game today. 27th in the league. The Bears averaged 3.2 in the first half. They averaged about half as many yards per play as every other team coming into this week did against that Washington defense. Their defense ranked 23rd on third down. 23rd. The Bears went 2 for 12 on third down. 5 quarterbacks had posted at least 100 quarterback passer rating against the Commanders this season. Caleb Williams had a 59.5. At one point, he was 4 of 16 passing. What is happening? How are you that much worse against this defense than every other team that's faced them? And again, in the main categories, solidly average. But when you dig into this Commanders offense, the opportunity was there to kind of build on what you've done here the last 2 weeks. And I wasn't expecting five touchdowns again. They're better than Carolina. They're better than Jacksonville. But you had a chance to build on what you've done here, and you did not do that at all. You took a big step back as an offense and in Caleb Williams' development tonight.
Yeah, my big question in the first half, and maybe our texters and callers can answer this for me, in the first half, I couldn't decide, is the Washington defense that good, or were we too nervous? I mean, Caleb had rookie nerves in the first half, much better second half, but I couldn't decide which was the situation. Was it Caleb nerves and play calling, or was it that there was this magic dust that all of a sudden the Washington defense was playing out of their minds? I don't know. I don't have an answer.
I think I have an answer. The Bears offense is not that good, guys. Like, I think we need to come to that realization. The last couple weeks looked real nice. Looked real, real nice. And tonight, DeAndre Swift, for a fourth straight game, had a solid night on the ground. More than solid. I give DeAndre his flowers. 18 carries for 129 yards, over 7 yards per carry, and a touchdown. He didn't have any catches. They didn't get him involved in the pass game, but there was no pass game.
No.
There was no pass game. But we have to be real about what we're looking at. They've played 7 games now, right? They've had 5 bad offensive games. They've had 5, and I'm not even including the Rams game, because that did not impress me what they did in that game. You had 2 good drives against a defense that came in the bottom 5 of every defensive category coming into that week, and half their team was injured, and you were able to put together 2 good drives. You've played 7 games. You've had 2 good ones. You've had 2 good offensive performances in 7 games. And I don't know about you guys. I do find myself asking the question, are we really better? And that's not saying, should we have traded Justin Fields? That's not what I'm saying. Are the Bears better offensively than they have been in recent years? You could have done what you did tonight with Justin Fields and Luke Getsy. You could have gone and done what you did tonight, 131 yards through the air with Justin Fields and Luke Getsy. Are you really better? And don't come at me with, well, they're 4-3. They weren't 4-3 last year. I'm talking about this offense. When you watch the Bears on a Sunday, the eye test, are they really any better offensively than they have been in recent years when we've all been pulling our hair out? Or have we just been kidding ourselves? Have we just been fooling ourselves, getting excited about this because they got the number 1 pick, because they went and got Keenan Allen, because they went and got DeAndre Swift, because they drafted Rome Odunze? And look, man, that all looks real good on paper. But when you run it out with that offensive line and with this guy making the calls that he's made in some crucial spots, have they really made any big steps, much less leaps, as an offense for all the changes that they made in the offseason? The answer is no, not really.
I've never forgotten that we should not have won that first game against the Titans. That was a gift. We could just as easily be 3-4. But in terms of improvement, I believe our offensive potential has really increased. But I think our play calling from our coaches is hurting our potential. So right now, no, we're not better.
I don't want to hear about potential. I really don't. And I know you're not like, that's not a case you're making, Dan.
No.
I know you're not saying that. You're not saying that in defense of the Bears and this offense, but I'm done with potential, man. I'm done with potential. I'm done with patience.
Execute.
I have patience for 2 guys. One of them is named Caleb. The other one is named Rome. If you play offensive line for the Bears, I don't have patience for you. Matt Eberflus, I don't have patience for you. Shane Waldron, I don't have patience for you. This isn't your first year. This isn't your first rodeo. This is week 8 of Caleb Williams' rookie season. I understand that. This is year 3, week 8 of Ryan Poles' rebuild. That's where we're at. This is year 3, week 8 of Matt Eberflus as a head coach. I don't know how long Shane Waldron was in Seattle as the offensive coordinator and calling plays there.
3 years.
So this is year 4, week 8 of Shane Waldron as an offensive coordinator who calls plays for his football team. These guys don't have the excuse of, well, it's going to take time. You got to have patience. No, man. These guys should know what they're doing by now. We shouldn't be sitting here having these conversations about some of these decisions that they made tonight, right now. I can, when Caleb Williams makes some of the throws that he made tonight, some of them were just bad throws. Like, guys were open, and he just missed them. You know what I do when that happens? I throw up my hands. I go, rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
But not when I see a fourth and one screen to DJ Moore. Not when I see you handing the ball off to an offensive lineman with the game on the line at the one-yard line. That's not stuff that requires my time and patience. You should just know better. You should just know better. If you're a head coach in your third year, like Matt Eberflus is, and you see your cornerback throwing a victory party in the corner of the end zone instead of getting to his assignment to stop a Hail Mary, you call a timeout. You call a timeout. That's what you do.
Okay. You're expressing the thoughts of all of us right now, and you're definitely caffeinated. I'm just going to say
yes. So much coffee. So much coffee. But it's also the rage. It's, yes. It's a combination. It's a cocktail of coffee and rage. This from the 630. Let's see here. Oh, it came in multiple. Oh, here. It came in multiple texts. I got to piece it together. Caleb within the 10-yard line. It's bad enough we had to watch Caleb get beat to death, but then to risk injury with those two calls. Yeah, agreed. 100% agreed. You're not doing this guy any favors, man. You're not doing him any favors. And if Caleb Williams is the best quarterback prospect that's ever walked into the NFL, it won't matter if this isn't the type of situation that actually fosters his growth and development and progression as a quarterback in this league. If he's constantly getting his head beat in or running for his life, he's not going to get better. If he's constantly having to run the type of play calls that we see Shane Waldron make on third and fourth and short or near the goal line, he's not going to get better as a quarterback. It's not going to happen. This isn't just about losing tonight. This is about the progress of your quarterback and the progress of this offense. And again, like I said a few minutes ago, I can't look at this offense and say, yeah, man, leaps and bounds better than what we've seen here in the last few years. It's not.
Now, and getting back to the offensive line, isn't our general manager a former offensive lineman?
Yes.
So
yes, he is.
How?
I don't know. Huh. I really don't know.
That's been the biggest struggle point since he's taken over, Dan, to your point.
And he lied to us. I'm just gonna say it. I'm just gonna flat out say it. And Tyler, I know it's in the library somewhere. I don't want to put you on the spot to go and find it. But Ryan Poles told us before the season started this was the deepest offensive line that he's ever been around. Liar.
Show me.
Look, man, he's a general manager. General managers get in front of microphones and they say things to make you feel better, but I didn't believe it when he said it.
Yeah. this is the best depth I've ever had. Actually let one of the guys go on cut downs and was like, man, you did an excellent job. I wish, you know, we could keep you here. He's like, this is the deepest room I've ever been a part of. So we have more versatility, more depth. We got 10 guys, so I feel comfortable. Obviously, you want your starting five to be healthy and ready to go, but I feel more confident in the depth of our line than I ever have before.
2 months ago, to the day, since he said that. The next time Ryan Poles gets in front of cameras and microphones, someone follow up and ask if you still feel that way. Let's see if he lies to us again. Because I don't think he believed that when he said it. GMs say stuff that they don't believe all the time. They do. That, I mean, a lot of this is PR. Mm-hmm. But when he said that, I was like, really, dude? Like, I don't mind being lied to, but like, make it believable. You know what I mean? Don't treat me like a child and say something to my face that I know not to be the case. And I knew that not to be the case when Ryan Poles said that 2 months ago to the day.
And don't you think the rest of the league knew the same thing?
Yes.
At the same time?
Yes.
I mean, callers to the station were talking about this in the preseason.
Another text from the 773. Speaking of the eye test, there should be noticeable improvements and mastery of the basics after a bye week. Yeah, man. Shouldn't be making 8 penalties for 60 yards coming out of a bye. And many of those of the pre and post snap variety that absolutely killed you today?
Like I said, it was like weeks 1 through 3, Shane Waldron slash the entire offense. It's like they went back to what they did in the beginning, and none of it worked.
Which maybe tells you that weeks 4 through 6, and I don't really include week 4 against the Rams. I was not impressed. It makes you wonder if that was all a mirage. You know what I mean? If that was bad competition that you were slapping around. Now, I will stick by a statement I've made. And actually, it was a texter who sent this in after they beat the Carolina Panthers and did so handily. They texted in and they said, yeah, it was a bad team, but you did what good teams do. Well, not what good teams do. You do what not bad teams do to bad teams when you face them, and that is put a beating on them. What the Bears did with that win, as the texter put it, was move out of the tier of bad. Mm-hmm. I still think they've moved out of the tier of bad. Not by much, though. And maybe not by as much as we had thought. And especially on the offensive side of things. I really don't. If somebody disagrees with me and can make a case for it, is this offense a lot better than what we've seen in recent years? Not on paper. Is this offense actually a lot better than what we've seen in recent years? You want to talk about that or anything concerning tonight's 18-15 loss to the Washington Commanders on a last-second Hail Mary play? It is the Bears Overnight Show at 312-644-6767. If you want to get in with me, Rami Makhlouf, special guest host Dan Durbin, who won the Cubs for a Cure auction to sit in on the show this evening, Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass, and you at 312-644-6767. It's a Bears Monday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, I should say, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this.